This is Olympic champion Scott Hamilton. Yes, the real Scott Hamilton. And you're listening to the other Scott Hamilton show, where you should be entertained, informed, and maybe even amused. Just don't expect any backflips. I mean, have you seen him skate?
Our guest, he's taking a deeper dive into this than anybody else in the country. I never question his research and his thoroughness, regardless of the topic. He's put together an excellent series regarding the transfer portal at On3 Sports. It's our friend Mike Huguenin. Mike, how are you, buddy? Welcome aboard.
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Mike, you heard me preface this by saying I really enjoy this series on the transfer portal you've put together. Before we get too deep into the weeds, was there anything through your research that you found to be a little surprising?
I don't think so. I think, you know, I know The Athletic did a story that crunched some numbers, and we have done some stuff of that ilk as well. You know, the idea that, oh, not everybody that enters the portal ends up with a scholarship elsewhere. Really? No duh. I mean, it's, and yeah, guys made mistakes by going into the portal. But that's, you know, I don't want to sound cavalier, but that's part of life, and the grass is not always greener. But I think the general takeaway from the portal is that smart coaches mine the portal and fill specific holes. I think if you're going to the portal, if you're not a first-year coach and you go to the portal a lot, that means you have not recruited well. And I think UCLA is a perfect example. Chip Kelly did great work in the portal, but he had to because his staff doesn't recruit well. If you're Lincoln Riley and Mario Cristobal, you took over programs with tons of holes, and you've patched them. But then you look at a guy like Nick Saban. Nick Saban brought in five transfers. All five are going to probably start and play relatively big roles. And to me, that's what high-level coaches should do. You use the portal to patch holes, you know, one or two season rentals, that kind of thing. And then you got Clemson, which brought in one guy who's not going to play, and Georgia, which brought in zero. And I don't get that. I think Saban's way is the way most coaches want to do it, bring in guys who can help you right away, not depth pieces necessarily, but guys who can fill holes right away and maybe be there one or 2 years.
I thought bringing in Tyler Steen from Vanderbilt was just such a typical move. I think that perfectly highlighted it. And people say, oh, you know, he's from Vanderbilt. He's an offensive lineman. I go, yeah, he's an offensive lineman who has experience playing in the Southeastern Conference. That's valuable commodity for anybody.
Yeah, and he's a three-year starter, Vandy. And, yes, Vandy was bad. But that doesn't mean every player on that roster is bad. Tyler Steen, again, here's a guy that Saban wanted, and he's going to start. And if you look at Alabama last year, yes, they played for a national title, and Saban called it a rebuilding year. And I think he's actually right, because that was not anything close to an elite team. You know, you put the 2020 Alabama team, which won it all, against last year's Alabama team, I think the 2020 team wins by two touchdowns at least. So, you know, and the offensive line was a concern last year, especially on the right side. They're going to have two new starting tackles this year, but again, instead of plugging in two guys who have not played important downs, you're getting Tyler Steen, a guy who has started for three seasons in the SEC. You know, is Tyler Steen a first-round pick? No, but he's better than what Alabama has right now. So, phenomenal pickup. Jamar Gibbs is a better player than the guy he replaces, Brian Robinson. Jermaine Burton is going to go from a 25-catch guy at Georgia to a 75-catch guy at Alabama. Tyler Harrell, the wide receiver transfer from Louisville, is going to be a great deep threat. I don't mean Jamison Williams-type deep threat, but a guy who I think is going to catch 40, 45, 50 passes, score seven or eight touchdowns, and average close to 20 yards a catch. And Eli Ricks, who gives Alabama a phenomenal three-man rotation at corner. So I think Saban did, you know, again, he had the best roster in the country, and he improved it by going to the transfer portal.
Mike, I think if any position is just perfect for the transfer portal, I think it is the offensive line, because so rarely do you have a guy coming out of high school or even as a redshirt freshman who is physically prepared to play in the or play at the FBS level, Power 5 level, unless it's like an Orlando Pace. And that's what confounded me the most about Dabo Swinney. They had so many questions at the offensive line. They have such a lack of depth at the offensive line that they need help now, and yet he was still hesitant to dive into that, even to find somebody who was physically mature enough to be a good backup.
Yeah, I got to think that there was at least one offensive lineman in the portal who could have helped Clemson this year. As you're right, maybe he doesn't start, but maybe he's a key backup. Maybe it's a swing tackle. Maybe it's a guy who can play center or guard. There's a lot of possibilities. And then you look at a school like Texas Tech, Joe McGuire, new coach, signed five offensive linemen out of the portal because he looked at his roster when he got there and realized, I don't have enough linemen to play winning football in the Big 12. So I need to go out and find guys who can, A, start, and I think he found at least two, and find guys who can be key backups. And the other three guys are all going to be key backups. One of the three might start. So he has remade his offensive line in one off season. Now, again, if Joey McGuire is there in 4 years doing the exact same thing, that's not conducive to having a bunch of winning seasons. But, yeah, I think if you're Kirby Smart and you're Dabo Swinney, you could have found one or two guys who, if nothing else, would have been key depth pieces for you this year.
We're joined by Mike Huguenin on 3.com. Follow him on Twitter at Mike Huguenin. Mike, we're discussing guys like Saban who have so judiciously used the portal and have come out on the positive side, and then we're talking about a Chip Kelly who is using the portal to make up for his own failures with regards to recruiting. But did you find a coach or a program that might have really tried to leverage the portal this last go-around, but less than stellar results?
I'm not sure about less than stellar. You know, LSU brought in a ton of guys. I think it was 15. But you can make a case that not more than five are going to start. But, again, that goes back to, and I think people would be, you know, why are you bringing in so many guys, Brian Kelly? Well, that's because Ed Orgeron left the roster in such a in pitiful shape. It's going to be, you know, I think there were teams that needed to get more help but did not. I think Billy Napier at Florida got a couple of key guys. I think he could have gotten more. I think he frankly was, from what I've been told and have heard, that they thought there'd be one or two more guys that they could have gotten out of the portal to help this year. It did not happen. I think Beamer did a great job getting guys who are going to make an impact right now. You know, North Carolina was a little bit underwhelming in the portal, though. Bringing in Noah Taylor was important. I'm not sure anybody, you know, and Kiffin, that's another guy for all of his, everybody praises Kiffin for his offensive mind, and that's fine. That guy is just not a very good recruiter. And, again, Ole Miss had to go to the portal to bring in guys who can play right now. I'm not sure anybody went into the offseason thinking, okay, I can remake my roster. Uh-oh, I didn't do a very good job in the portal. I think there's some schools wanted more players, but I don't think anybody was an abject failure in terms of we signed five guys out of the portal or eight guys out of the portal. We're going to get a handful of contributors, and to me that's fine. But, I was another team that brought in one guy. And the guy they brought in, the tight end from Lafayette, who is going to play. But, again, that's another old-school coach, and you sort of wonder. They lost two receivers to Purdue, and that's got to grind considering Purdue's in the same division. Mm-hmm. So, again, I think it's more a case of if you're not using the portal to bring some players in, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face.
I'm glad you mentioned Kiffin. I mentioned this earlier in the program. I look at Kiffin's transfer class, and presumably Jackson Dart is the guy considered by most to be the marquee piece of that. Coming from Southern Cal, had some success, or at least glimpses of potential at Southern Cal. But with a Luke Altmyer already on the roster, I'm of the belief that Zach Evans is the cornerstone of
yes.
that. I love his game. I love that Kendall Briles offense requires a good running back. Would I be right in that assessment?
Yeah, I think so. And plus, I don't think it's a given that Jackson Dart starts. Altmyer has been there longer. And, yes, I know it's a new offense with Kendall Briles replacing Jeff Levy, but it's still – a new play caller, but Kiffin, it's still the tenets of his offense, and Altmaier knows him. Started once last year. I say didn't start once. He played last year in the bowl game after Corral got hurt. But not only did they bring in Zach Evans, they brought in Ulysses Bentley from SMU. They lost their four leading rushers. So they brought in Michael Trigg, who's a sort of a pass, a receiving first, receiving second, and receiving third tight end. I don't think he can block, but Ole Miss won't ask him to block. But Zach Evans, immensely talented, immensely. The question with Zach Evans has never been his talent, but his, for lack of a better term, his want to, his focus, his intensity level. And that's going back to his, you know, his weird high school recruitment. He's an interesting guy. We'll see if that works. But again, if anybody can manage a mercurial temperament, you would think it would be Kiffin, because he's mercurial himself. But again, Kiffin, you're if you're an Ole Miss fan, you're, I think, yes, we did a great job in the portal. And then the second part of that should be, though, why did we have to bring in so many guys to fill spots this year? And again, that goes back to recruiting. And I think, frankly, going forward, if you're filling six or seven holes every single season with portal guys, that's not a good sign for the foundation of your program.
Mike, just a couple more minutes, please. This excellent series, you break down the impact of the portal by position, by player, by team. Did you get a sense that maybe one conference as a whole bettered itself because of the way its members used the portal? And on the other side of that coin, is there a conference out there that you felt was rated more than any other and might suffer from it?
Yeah, I think the Big Ten and ACC did the least good work in the portal. I think the SEC and Pac-12 did the best. Pac-12, Lincoln Riley did a phenomenal job. Chip Kelly did a phenomenal job. Now, they had to do those for different reasons. I think Washington did an under-the-radar kind of job under Kalen DeBoer, a really nice one. Oregon brought in a couple key guys. I'm not a huge Bo Nix fan, but they signed their best corner out of the portal, Christian Gonzalez from Colorado. And the SEC, Ole Miss did a good job. Alabama did a good job. LSU brought in a ton of guys. Mississippi State got a kicker from Coastal Carolina, the Biscardi kid, and a kicker. Well, if you watched Mississippi State last year, their kicking game was atrocious and embarrassing. So that was a key guy for them. And another school that didn't do anything was Texas A&M. Now, they brought in Max Johnson. That, frankly, was really their only guy of note. So if I'm Fisher, I might have tried to go for a veteran wide receiver, given the youth of his receiving corps. But I think as a whole, in Arizona, I forgot, they did a phenomenal job in the portal as well. So not a huge haul, but key guys. So I think the SEC and Pac-12, frankly, far outstripped everybody else. Now, Texas did a nice job. K-State did okay. Oklahoma, you know, bringing in Dylan Gabriel was huge. But I think the Pac-12 and SEC did the best by far.
You know, that you made a good point there with A&M and Jimbo not really leveraging the portal a lot. But I guess that would back up your contention that the portal in a lot of cases is merely to mask deficiencies in recruiting. And that's something Jimbo hasn't had to deal with in recent years.
No, but at the same time, again, Alabama is – I think Saban is sort of the ruthless aspect. We're not going to rely on these five-star dudes. We're going to go out and get some guys who've already played. And while A&M, I think, you look at their defensive line, they have no returning starters. Maybe you sign a Jackson player from Tulsa or a Jeffrey Johnson from Tulane, guys who have played for 4 years and are proven. You're not going to be a star at A&M, but you can play important rotation minutes. Again, a receiver would have been nice at Texas A&M too, I think, because of the lack of proven talent at receiver. But again, I think, you know, Saban, they only signed five guys, but all five, I think, are going to start. And that's just masterful, I think.
Mike, my last question, do you see the portal becoming busier as we kind of matriculate to this two super conference model? And you will see more of what Alabama is doing, dipping down and getting who it wants, when it wants, from where it wants, just to fill its own holes.
I think it's going to be, I'm wondering if there's going to be enough cautionary tales out there for guys who, you know, something, I think I can get another scholarship, but I'm not sure. Maybe I'm better off staying here. At the same time, I think the high-level guys, you know, the Jermaine Burtons of the world, the Jerick Bernard Converses of the world, and quarterbacks are always going to be into the portal. I think it's also going to be interesting to see how the Big Ten schools think about the portal going forward. Because I'll be honest, I think outside of Mel Tucker, it did not seem as if Big Ten schools were all that enthusiastic. Now, Ohio State brought in a starter. Michigan brought in maybe the nation's best center, the Ola Watimi kid who transferred from Virginia. So, you know, Wisconsin brought in a corner from UCLA who's going to start for him. But, you know, Purdue did a nice job in the portal as well. But I think for the most part, SEC coaches are far more likely to embrace the portal than Big Ten coaches are. And considering those are the two strongest leagues, you wonder if Big Ten coaches are going to sort of loosen their reins a little bit going forward when they realize, you know, 8 of the top 10 guys in the portal went to SEC schools, that kind of stuff. And that's something I think going forward, you know, the SEC is always going to have supremely talented players more than any other league, but you wonder if some of the Big Ten coaches are going to realize we need to be more heavily invested in the portal to try to close the talent gap.
Well, one more question then, Mike. You mentioned Michigan State. Michigan State, again, with 8 transfers via the portal. How much of that is Mel Tucker relying on the formula that helped them turn that into an 11-2 season last year, and how much of it is him still cleaning up the recruiting mess maybe left from the last few years of Mark D'Antonio?
Yeah, D'Antonio's last couple of years recruiting were not good. I think that's part of it, but I also think that you look at, he struck gold last year. You know, nobody knew who Kenneth Walker was last year at this time. And then the dude is rushes for, you know, second leading rusher in the country, 1,600 yards, totally transformed that offense. I think going forward, Mel Tucker would much rather rely on player development because I think he's got a really good staff for that. And Tucker knows what talent acquisition is about, having worked in the SEC, working for Saban. But I think he still, regardless, is going to be more open to the portal than the other guys. Again, you know, Michigan brought in a key guy. Ohio State brought in a key guy. Wisconsin brought in a key guy. But, you know, if you're Wisconsin, why don't you bring in a quarterback to challenge Graham Mertz? Graham Mertz was horrendous last season, and yet you're riding with him again. So, again, I think some of these coaches, you know, maybe, you know, I think Dabo has been very outspoken. I'm not a big fan of the portal. Well, I don't think Saban's a huge fan of the portal, but I think Saban realizes I can make my team better. And I think that's the way Mel Tucker thinks, the way Lincoln Riley thinks, Chip Kelly. I think more coaches need to have that mindset because if they don't, for the most part, now obviously Georgia and Texas A&M are a little bit different animals, but you're going to get left behind.
Excellent stuff. Mike Huguenin on 3 Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Mike Huguenin. Mike, this is you never disappoint either with your work or joining me. You never disappoint.
It. Thanks, man.
You the man, brother. Thank you. It's Mike Huguenin on 3.com. I'm glad he backed me up. Dabo could have found a back. He could have found a backup lineman, somebody who could play now, even if in an emergency role. I would rather do that than rely on an underclassman who has had limited reps and limited time in the program, who's not physically at a point to go out and say, you know what, this guy, he's physically ready to start at a Power 5 offensive line position. It baffles me. Interesting point, though, about using the portal sometimes in an emergency situation to make up for your own failings. Case with Chip Kelly, I found that to be very enlightening. Mike Huguenin, he's the man.